There was a time in American history when more Jews lived in South Carolina than in any other state. Like much of the South, there's a long and complex Jewish history in South Carolina. A new exhibit explores Southern Jewish life in the state during the last 300 years. From Columbia, NPR's Joshua Leves reports.
Mary Lurie Ruttenberg is 74 years old. She's a member of one of South Carolina's best-known Jewish families. She's fiercely proud of where she comes from.
S-T-G-E-O-R-G-E. That's the way you spell it? This is where you yell it. St. George, St. George.
In case you didn't guess, Ruttenberg hails from the small town of St. George, and that is her high school cheer. Ruttenberg's family runs a popular chain of clothing stores, and her brother was a longtime state senator. But her parents taught the kids not to talk much about their religion in public.
There was this feeling that we don't put ourselves in the limelight. We sort of don't make vibes because we felt this was our adopted country.
The story of how Jews have fit in with the dominant society of the South fascinates Lynn Robertson. She's executive director of the McKissick Museum at the University of South Carolina in Columbia, which has created the exhibit called A Portion of the People.
This isn't just an exhibition about South Carolina and one group. It's a different take on the American immigration story.
In 1669, the founding fathers of the colony of Carolina drafted a constitution stating that Jews, among others, would be welcome. There's a copy in the exhibit. Curator Dale Rosengarten.
In that document, they stated the most liberal religious provisions for religious tolerance really existing in the world.
South Carolina became the first state to grant Jews voting rights. By 1800, there were about 2,000 Jews in South Carolina, more than any other state. The exhibit has large oil paintings of some of the most prominent Jews from the state's early years, such as Francisco Salvador, the first Jew to die in the Revolution, and Judah P. Benjamin, who was called the brains of the Confederacy. There's also a cloth campaign banner for Franklin Moses, son of a Jewish father. Curator Rosengarten.
This is the most despised character, practically, in all of South Carolina history. He was a scalawag. He was a faithful Southerner and a true Confederate, and after the war, drifted into the radical camp, became the governor of the state under so-called Republican rule.
For the most part, these leaders didn't talk publicly about their Jewish roots, but at home, many families held on to religious traditions. The exhibit includes old silver wine cups, gold candlesticks, a gorgeous orange plaque inscribed with a Hebrew prayer. Museum director Lynn Robertson says Jews, like all immigrants, had to ask themselves an important question.
What traditions that are passed to me through my religion and through my family am I going to maintain, and which ones am I going to jettison?
One answer was to adapt religious practices. In 1840, members of a Charleston synagogue wrote this prayer music, influenced by Christian hymns. The next year, the music was used to dedicate the nation's first Reform synagogue in Charleston. Curator Rosengarten says the synagogue was created by people who wanted services to be shorter and use more English.
All in the interest of hanging on to the younger generation and keeping people tied to Judaism.
The exhibit looks at the freedom many Jews found to be both Jewish and Southern. But while they were taking advantage of that freedom, some were also participating in slave ownership. Hesh Epstein is an Orthodox rabbi who has lived in Columbia for 15 years. He says slave ownership is prohibited in Judaism, a religion founded on an escape from slavery.
We can always learn from situations in which we perceive other people who have behaved in a way that is incorrect by looking back and seeing what were some of the mistakes that they may have made. How did they become misguided? How did they lose touch with Jewish values?
The exhibit also deals with anti-Semitism. In a recorded audio memory, 88-year-old George Chaplin shares a story about his grandfather's store.
Some guy came in once and wanted to buy a watch, and my dad couldn't give it to him at the price a man wanted. And as walking out, the man said, "You guys deserved exactly what Hitler did to you."
That recording is one of dozens collected for the exhibit. Another is by Rabbi Gerald Wolpe, who led a congregation in Charleston during the Civil Rights era. He recalls the internal conflicts Jews faced, struggling with the fear of anti-Semitic attacks, the desire to fit in with the white establishment, and a commitment to religious values.
You know, on one side, the black community was threatened to boycott Jewish stores if they didn't take this position. Yet on the other hand, white citizen groups were saying, well, hey, wait a minute, you've been here five generations. How come you don't think the same way as we do?
While the exhibit touches on some of the turbulence of South Carolina's Jewish history, it focuses more on the pride that Southern Jews have always felt. There are photos of people through the generations, all the way up to today, with beaming smiles. 74-year-old Mary Lurie Ruttenberg calls the exhibit overwhelming.
We were sort of like a shadow, and this brought the sunlight into it. This brought us into the sunshine.
The exhibit, A Portion of the People, will be at the McKissick Museum through May. It then travels to Charleston and New York. Joshua Lives, NPR News, Columbia, South Carolina.